This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands up.
But it's not.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
On this very, very cool, now cool and rainy evening in Westchester. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael Kay.
It is September 19th, 2019. Was that today?
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, no. Oh. I didn't even notice. You've never been 3 years off.
Wow.
Wow. Deeply unfortunate moment
might,
there.
Might be time.
Did Andrew hear that? Do you hear that? Michael said it's September 19th, 2019 to start the show today. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
All right, let's see.
Well, I mean, we did start the show, unfortunately. You turned down.
That could have been what it was. He couldn't hear it, so he lost the ear. All right, let's go to good evening to Don.
He's door.
And good evening to Coach Sala and Michael.
You guys feel like getting deep?
Yeah,
yeah I love it.
Deep.
Good evening to Don.
Don't be diddling with his knob.
And good evening to Kay.
Why would you touch my knob?
And to Don.
They might have an orgy if they lose.
And to Don one more time.
I love golf courses.
And lastly to Coach Sala.
Cool Joe Flacco, man.
He loves Cool Joe Flacco.
Wow. Cool Joe Flacco.
I knew it was going to be Flacco. They always got to give the old man quarterback who throws for a bunch of touchdowns the game ball.
They gave so many to George Blanda that he opened up a sporting
store. Is that true? Yep.
But you would think that they'd give it to Garrett Wilson. After all, he was asked twice about it to Sala.
I might have given it to Wilson, though.
No.
Eight catches, I think, 102 yards, two touchdowns.
But anybody gets that the coach gets asked twice about should get a
ball. No, if the coach gets asked twice, that absolutely.
Why did you just pinch my leg when you heard me saying it?
I was too far
while
away.
While you were asking the question?
Like, stop. Why would you touch my knob?
Well, you saw what happened when the knob got touched. If I pinched you during your question?
Yeah, you'd fall backwards.
But then I would know what you meant. Okay, this has been asked before. I don't listen to what Peter has to say.
But in the middle of a – I don't know how you do it in the middle of a question.
When Peter does his question, I'm thinking about, like, traffic. What do I have to get to? What do I have to read?
I get it.
Here's what you thought. This is a pretty good question. Peter couldn't
There's
possibly
There's no way
ask
Peter answered.
I'm safe. We're talking about the Jets, aren't we?
Whatever you want. It's your show.
Let's go back to yesterday. Right here on 98.7 ESPN and hear the highlights of the comeback from our very own Bob Wischusen.
Flacco in the shotgun. Takes the snap, drops back. At the Jet 25-yard line, looks downfield, heaves a bomb down the right sideline. Corey Davis behind the defense, he's going to score. Here is the Jet onside kick try. Braden Mann wants it left. It takes a hop, gets to the sideline. It's loose. There's a scramble for it. The Jets think they have it. They do. Flacco takes the shotgun snap and drops. Looks up the seam, fires, caught. Touchdown. Garrett Wilson scores. Out of the hole to Braden Mann. The placement down. The kick on the way. Down the middle and good. Reset fires one up the seam. Intercepted by Ashton Davis. And that'll do it. Ashton Davis takes a knee. And the Jets will win it here in Cleveland.
What a call.
It just occurred to me, I had my questions in my head what to ask Sala, and we didn't get to it. Did he regret? I guess not because of the interception, but did he think about squib kicking? Because remember, that was the conversation after the Kansas City Buffalo game, 22 seconds to go. Would there have been value, Peter, to have him field and run up and knock off 5 or 6 seconds? Because I tell you, if he doesn't throw that pick, and that's a complete pass to like the 40, they're attempting a game-winning field goal.
That is true. Yeah, and we know what the NFL is like these days. You always get a game when
they had a timeout.
That was the only play Ashton Davis was on the field for.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And you know, they had a timeout, so they could have completed it anywhere in the middle of the field, quick call to timeout. It would have been a long field goal, but certainly doable.
Now, I've got a question for you. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, I'd love to answer.
Bob Wischusen.
The Wiz.
He's very good.
Very.
Okay? Of all the New York play-by-play people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would think he's called the worst games, more than any of us.
No, Mike Breen has called more. If you had a number of games.
Well, number of games, but number of seasons.
Well, but number of seasons. Mike Breen.
He's had some good ones.
They won 54 games, you know, six years ago.
And Bob had a couple of trips to the championship game.
I know, but not in the last, 11 years?
Yeah.
Right, but he did get back-to-back championship games. He did call several postseason games because his first year was 2002. So he had playoffs under Herm Edwards. He had a Mangini, the big win in New England in the playoffs with Rex, and then the championship games with Rex. But he hasn't had – it's been over a decade.
Do you realize when I hear Mangini, I can only think of the scene in Sopranos?
I can only think of Joey's song.
Mangini. I know. It's a classic. But my favorite part is that Tony Soprano sees Mangini having dinner at Vesuvio, and he gets up and leaves the table and goes – It's the Jets coach. I should say hello.
I think he said
Man Genius. I think he called him the Man Genius. And he's like, I gotta say hello.
I know. I gotta think about this for a second now.
Man Genie. He is here to lend a hand. Man Genie. The youngest coach in all the land. Man Genie. He doesn't talk as much as Ham.
Hello?
Mangini.
My favorite line.
He's not a genie, he's a man.
What's he doing now?
Mangini.
He's not with ESPN anymore.
I think he's doing something with Tannenbaum's podcast now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The 33rd team.
Oh, he's on there? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Got to pay mortgages, right?
But honestly, none of the hockey teams. I get maybe Ion.
Ion's called up until
recently. You know, he was the play-by-play guy when they went to the finals twice.
Why isn't his name Ian Eigel?
All right, I think
Mike Breen calls the finals every year. So
yeah, but as the Knick announcer, I think he's a close second, Peter. Who am I missing? No Mets, no Yankees. None of the hockey teams, although it's been a decade run for the Devils without a playoff series win. But so I get Mac Loughlin would be in there, and I think those are the two with Schusen and Breen.
Let's stay with the Jets for a second. Rex Ryan was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg earlier and talked about how much Robert Saleh needed that win.
Huge. I mean, nobody needed a win more than Robert did. And when you look at it, like, his team is getting better. And I told you guys last week that this team is getting better. And when he came out with those receipts deal, you know the way the New York media is ready to kill him. But thank goodness they pulled one out. They have no chance to win this game. Zero chance to win it. And they find a way to do it. And it just shows that, look, this team has got that. They got the heart. And here's the thing. They have a lot of young talent. That's fun to watch. Like this Garrett Wilson. I mean, this is a superstar in the making right here with this guy. And then the running backs are young. Like I was super impressed with this Jet team. And then how about the decision? Oh, I want to go with Mike White as the coach. The hell you do. Joe Flacco's there to give you an opportunity to win a game. Robert Saleh knew it. He made the tough decision, and it was the right decision, and good for him, man.
I'll tell you right now. I'll say it right now because enough people don't say this. I was wrong. I mean, at least as of yesterday, I did not think that Flacco had a 4-touchdown game in him. I didn't. After week one, I watched and was like, this guy doesn't have it anymore. He played a nice game yesterday. I mean, listen, he was 26 of 44. He still threw the ball a ton.
Well,
but the bottom line is he was big in the big moments.
That's why Ira's right and wrong. Like, I think Ira's wrong earlier when he said that, you know, Flacco should continue to play and not Wilson. But I do think right now Flacco could probably make some throws and do some things that an inexperienced Wilson can't do. But at some point, Peter, you're going to need your quarterback to make plays. And I think the hope is that Wilson's going to be that quarterback. Where are you going with Flacco? Best case scenario, how many wins is Flacco going to produce this year? Best case scenario, 8? Well, that's not good enough to make the playoffs. Is that worth taking a knee on your quarterback in year 2?
Well, that's the fundamental problem with Ira's argument. It's like if there was a chance that Flacco could get them to 13-4, okay, let's have a conversation. But that's not on the table.
Again, if this is the Giants and they've got a winnable division where you think maybe 9 wins, you can win the division, maybe it's a different story.
Well, look, you've said this a couple of times. You really think they have a winnable division? You're that down on Philly? How are they going to win a decision?
No. I said it's winnable. I didn't say they're going to win it. I mean,
I will fight you after this show.
Honestly, unless something happens, the Bills are winning. the AFC East. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I mean, who is definitely winning the NFC East? Is it the Cowboys? That might
no.
There's actual rumors that maybe Dak's going to be back sooner than later, but still, that team doesn't look right. Philadelphia is a good team. We'll see if they can follow up what they did against Detroit. But I don't think the Giants are winning this division.
No, but
when you say winnable, I'm just saying
it's winnable.
It could be on the table more so than it is for the Jets. And you look at that conference, Michael. In the NFC, maybe 9 wins. It worked last year to get you to the playoffs. Is 9 wins going to get you in the playoffs in the AFC?
No.
So I don't.
But I guess I look at it. The Giants don't have as much talent as the Jets.
I don't think they do.
Now, speaking of the Jets and that young talent, Rex just waxed poetic about Garrett Wilson. Here's Flacco talking about Wilson's performance.
I'm really happy for him. A lot of guys on our team. I was talking to somebody else about this. We've known that the lights aren't too big for him and that he's already like kind of grown up and is capable of playing this league. But you really aren't going to be able to have people say that about you until you win football games. That's why winning is so big in this league, because it just cures all those things, all the issues you have. No matter how this game turned out, those things are all true, but nobody cares, and rightfully so. That's why winning is so big.
And here's Wilson on the win for the Jets.
I went crazy. I'm sure there'll be a TV clip. I went absolutely crazy on the sideline. Just another thing, I didn't want my drop to be the reason why we lost the game. The defense kept coming through, making plays, and, that was huge.
And here's do you guys want to hear Greeny losing his mind about Garrett Wilson?
Sure.
Let's hear Greeny.
I was on a flight from New York to Las Vegas the last week of April on a Tuesday. Thursday was the draft. And I happened to be on a flight with Dan Orlovsky and a few other people. And Dan says to me, we have no idea who's going to get drafted where at that point. And he says to me, Greeny, the best player in this draft is Garrett Wilson. The receiver from Ohio State is the best player in this draft. And what is delightful, I don't want to overstate this, is that in 2 weeks, what we have seen is that he is the best player in the National Football League. So in 2 weeks, he is the best player in the sport. Again, he's the best receiver the Jets have ever had already by far, and it's not even close. Don Maynard, Wesley Walker, Keyshawn Johnson, Al Toon, Lavernius Coles, whoever else you want to put in there. Garrett Wilson is already better than all of them put together. That's my number one takeaway from yesterday.
Is he being facetious, or does he really mean that?
No, he's being facetious.
No, I know he's being facetious about...
At the end.
No, but when he said he's the best receiver the Jets have ever had, I don't know if he was...
I think he's being facetious.
I mean, he said he was going to name his first son Lavernius. This is before he came on the show. So he falls in love quite easily.
Oh, no, he was going to name him... Was it Lavernius?
I think it was Lavernius.
Or was it Pennington?
No, it was Lavernius.
Either way, it's crazy. But that's what happens.
I mean, you're making him better than Don Maynard and Keyshawn Johnson?
He's not being serious. There's no way. I did see his wife, Stacy, did post video of him screaming like Dave Rothenberg.
We can ask Greeny. Well, I'm sure we'll have him on soon enough. I was talking about this with Andrew last week. Knowing Greeny for over 20 years now, passionate Jet, Nick, and Met fan. I think right now it's just all in on the Jets, and that's it. I think the Nick stuff kind of tampered down after he took the NBA gig, Mets, I don't really hear him that passionate about the Mets anymore, but the Jets are the one thing. I think you trim the tree a little bit as you get older.
You do.
And I think he's kind of – the Jets are a legit team that he loves. So I'm kind of with Michael. I think he's kind of out of his mind right now with glee. But how do you sit there? Two games.
You
put him ahead of a Hall of Famer in Maynard. Keyshawn Johnson.
He wasn't serious.
Well, no, I'm not sure. And
I'm
also,
sure.
Did anybody notice that Garrett Wilson, I don't think he played in the first half last week.
No, he did.
No.
I think he had one catch in the first half.
I think he had 5 catches in the game. I don't know if he did anything the first couple of series.
Zero. But the first half. They didn't even talk
guys,
to him.
But here's the thing. All right. Even if he's right, it all doesn't matter unless you got a quarterback to throw in the football. I mean, can you think off the top of your head many wide receivers that made quarterbacks great? It usually works the other way around, right? So it all really depends on getting Wilson. That's why it's important that eventually Wilson can play with these weapons and play with this offensive line that I think is playing better than people anticipated it, and they can run the ball. And they're doing some really nice things here. That's why you got to get Wilson into the fold sooner than later. You want him playing against Pittsburgh. I'm sorry.
What do you think, Michael? What sort of, like, if Zach and Garrett become an unbelievable tandem, where will the New York Post go with Wilson to Wilson? A lot of I feel like there'd be options there. And would the Jets consider giving away a volleyball with, like, a what looks like blood painted as someone's face on the side of the ball?
and get a player named Phillips too.
Yeah, that's you need that.
Wilson Phillips.
You really think that's?
Yeah. Well, thinking out.
Wilson Phillips end zones.
Fills up end zones? Yeah. No, not
well, you got to say Phillips because that kind of fills up. That yeah. doesn't work. It's got to be Phillips.
The whole thing doesn't
Anthony,
work.
Can you fade their mics out?
Wait, what are you saying?
It was an awful take by you.
Why is it all Phillips?
It was embarrassing, really.
It's certainly not the – really? Yeah.
Phillips end
really?
Zone?
Phillips end zone.
No, that was not good. That was
that
bad.
Wasn't good. I tried.
Well, well, you're arguing with me.
It's not
I
the
said,
worst joke's ever been told on this show, I tell you that.
Well, Oscar Gamble's worse?
Yes.
No way.
We called it the Oscar to, Gamble.
At least listen to the cut. See?
That's funny.
See, that's a teammate.
That's a teammate. No, that's that. There's no question about
see,
that.
See, he could have just gave a token little yuck, yuck. And then we'll move on. Right. And everybody knows it's a bad joke, but you're like, Michael's a good teammate. Michael's not a good teammate. He's one of the worst people on the planet.
But you know what? All of our listeners, they have to trust me that when I say something,
no,
I mean
why can't they trust themselves? They find what's funny and what's not funny. They don't take the cue from you.
No, they take the cue from the big guy.
All right, let's move over to the let's move over to the Giants side of town, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
Giants side of the stadium.
Sure.
Here's Coach Dable on Daniel Jones' progression so far.
I thought he played a good game. I thought he made great decisions with the football in his hands. He took care of it. He led the team down again to finish off a drive to win the game. So that's 2 good weeks, I'd say, for Daniel. Made right decision, took care of the ball when there was pressure on him, threw it away if he needed to throw it away, and then took off on that last naked there to get the first down to he could have done a lot of different things, and he made the right decision under pressure in a critical situation, and he's taken steps, and I'm happy for him.
Now, Dable also talked about the interesting breakdown of wide receivers getting a lot of opportunities on the Giants. Here's Dable on the wide receiver competition.
It's going to be a continual competition. Kadarius had opportunities today, and you know we'll see what it is next week. Maybe it's Slayton, maybe it's more KG. We'll see where we go with that. But I think we're just going to that position. We're going to just keep on rolling guys and play the guys that week we think would give us the best chance, and the other guys got to be ready to go as backups.
I'll tell you what, Galladay is the Gettleman gift that keeps giving.
I know. It's really amazing that he just can't get involved. But, you know, James is someone, I think we're going to have him on in studio coming up later this week.
You think so?
I think tomorrow.
Interesting.
Whatever works, right? Listen, this offense is not good. Can we say that? It's serviceable. The defense, I think, has really been the story of this season early on.
So the offense is not Phillipsing the end zone.
No, they're not Phillipsing the end zone at all. But, hey, how often over the last 5 years have the Giants been in victory formation because they got a first down to end the game?
True.
You know, you're thinking, oh, we're going to just take as much time off the clock as possible, get a good punt, and just hope the defense comes through. So it did enough to win, but it hasn't been great. They're not scoring a ton of points. And I think they're getting by with really become a game manager in Daniel Jones. And I give the coaching staff credit for that. They're making it work for them. But does that look like a quarterback that you're going to give a contract to?
No.
I guess if they keep winning, it's a different story. But that's why this game against Dallas is huge, because it's become more winnable now. And if you're going to win this division, guys, if it is indeed going to be a winnable division, that means you have to win games in your division. And the first two are Dallas.
What really stinks for them, though, let's say they just get by with Daniel Jones and win games with their defense and Saquon. Well, they're moving out of a draft pick that they can actually get their successor.
But you know what?
Right.
It's kind of like that purgatory state.
But didn't you kind of go into the season knowing their next quarterback was going to have to be an acquisition, not a draft? Because I didn't think the Giants were ever going to be a top five draft pick team this year. I thought they'd be okay, not great. Maybe did we ever think the bottom was going to completely drop out and they'd be a two or three win team?
If you listen to the quote-unquote experts, they're saying the Giants are terrible. Now every one of them, it's got a different story. They have no talent. There's a talent deficit on this team. And now everybody's making it out like they have a chance.
Okay, but still, I don't know what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. I mean, it seems ridiculous that Baltimore would let him go. I think they would franchise him, but he refused to play out of the franchise. Is there a world with the Giants having cap space next year of working something out to get Jackson? And do the Giants become a place that you want to play for if they prove they have the coach and a good defense and they win a bunch of games, but the quarterback's not good enough that they could become the Broncos of the East, where, hey, I want to join a team, I want to be a good quarterback and play with a good team that needs a QB? That's the best case, more so than them being so bad they've got the first overall pick and take a great quarterback.
As for the wide receiver snaps, David Sills has the most so far. He had 67
Amazing.
Yesterday.
Amazing.
Yeah. Sterling Shepard was second with 64. Richie James, the other rookie, 31. Kadarius Toney had 28. And then Slayton had 4 snaps, Galladay 2. So he said competition, but really the last two. If something doesn't change quickly, Are those last two guys really going to be in the competition?
Well, Slayton took a big cut just to stay. And right. If he's not going to get an opportunity, he's probably sorry he did that. Galladay's sitting on a load of money.
Yeah. Tony ties him at 100%, although I think there's talent there. I'm sure it's by design, too. But the one thing I will give Jones credit for, he's an athlete. He made some things happen with his legs. He was smart there. The only turnover he's had was the fumble in week one, which I don't think anybody would have been able to hold on to the ball at that point. So, but, again, it's not somebody you want to give a contract to, is it?
I tell you what I want to do. I want to take a quick break and come back and talk some New York Yankees and ENN on the other side. What are your thoughts?
It's your gig, babe.
Well, you know, saying that, that's
– it's not getting support, Don.
It's not an enthusiastic way
right.
to show support.
It's saying, hey, it's your funeral.
You know what? Try it again.
Do you want to do a little more on the other side?
I don't care what you do.
All right, well, it's better than that, I guess.
You know what? I think the move is to take a quick break, come back and do some Yankees and some more ENN.
Excellent idea. That's going to be a great segment.
Thank you.
Yay!
We'll do that
Stewie.
Next.
It can make it sound less Stewie.
We'll do it next right here on Yes 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, I feel what you're saying. That's why I'm here. Live or die, I'm asking how y'all did. What my idea?
Great song.
Yeah.
Who is this?
My good friend, homeboy Salmon.
Given name?
No, his given name is Angel.
Really?
I don't remember.
Angel, probably.
No, he goes by Angel.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it should be pronounced Angel.
He has a song. You should want to tell him how he should pronounce his own name.
It's unfair, really. No, because I don't know why are rappers and hip-hop artists held to a different standard than, like, any other name change in music?
What do you mean?
Like Lady Gaga instead of Stephanie
right.
Germanotta.
Or, you know, the lead singer of Venom's name was Cronus. I'm sure that wasn't his given name.
Right, right. But why are you saying there's a different standard?
Because Michael, you know, it was not his given name.
Oh, that Michael. Yeah, it's true.
But there are a lot more mainstream. Well, rap is mainstream, too, but a lot more artists that aren't rappers that use their own name is what I'm saying.
I guess.
Gwen
I guess,
Stefani, Blake Shelton.
Why'd you just go with him?
But I thought I'd pick a couple.
Joey Badbutt.
Tim McGraw, Faith Hill.
Jesus.
Joey Badbutt.
Joey Badbutt, that is Joey's real
Ballard.
Name. All right, let's hear.
I think you're drifting from Ballard. That's just my feel because
really?
You haven't met him lately, yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No, there's no driftage.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
We're close as ever. Let's hear.
Just looking at the members of Venom, Cronus, Rage, Dante, Jesus Christ, Demolition Man, War Maniac.
This is the music that Don likes.
This is yes.
Venom is so good. They're so underrated.
Let's very underrated.
Cronus.
Let's
Hostile yeah, Rage, let's Torment, Blood Feast.
Let's hear the call by Michael K on Yes.
Ooh.
Yesterday, home run number 59 for Judge.
And the pitch. Deep to left. There it goes. He's one away from Ruth. Home run number 59 for Aaron Judge. And it's 10-4 Yankees. See, I changed it up a little bit. When he hit 58, I said three away from Maris. Then 59, I said, let me bring Ruth into the equation.
Why not?
Yeah.
One away
change
from
it
Ruth.
Up for people. What and when they play it in the DVD, it'll sound like he's just, you know, he's.
Let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they playing tomorrow?
They're playing the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the Bucks.
Yep. Yeah.
Where?
At Yankees.
At the stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, because you're here.
You've worked so hard.
Sure.
You've done
well,
so much.
Well, why couldn't you wake up and go in the morning?
Right.
If it was in Pittsburgh.
No, but just to be completely oblivious.
Yeah.
And just trying to read the room based on where Michael is.
It's a great point.
Instead of just happening to know.
So what are you thinking about for the call here for 60? Let's talk. Because you may not get 62. We've talked about that ad nauseum.
I think
but you're going to get 60.
60 is just going to be a basic call that he tied Babe Ruth. I mean, you know, he's not breaking a record. He's
okay,
just tied
okay.
Babe Ruth.
And if you get 61 tomorrow, have you thought about that?
I thought a little bit about it. You know, everybody wants me to, like, plan the call, which I never do. And I think if you plan the call, you're going to stumble. I'm just going to let it flow out of my soul.
It's going to be fine.
There
You're going to be immortalized again.
Do you think maybe you could do something like use the name Roger and play Don into, like, a little bit of Airplane?
Roger that.
Roger, Victor.
Yeah.
What about that?
What's the Victor, Victor?
that would be good.
Picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue.
Let's go to Aaron Boone talking about how Judge, it's not just about the homers, he takes pride in batting for average.
But I know it's something that he takes a lot of pride in. Probably the most of anything is being able to hit for an high average. So when you consider what he's doing, when you consider the person, when you consider his talent, again, nothing's surprising me.
Aaron Boone doing his best Chris Collinsworth.
No, I think that Aaron Boone's going for the Barry White sound-alike.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, after Judge breaks the record, he's going to do a Barry White collection.
Now, let's hear one of the great moments in sports from over the weekend.
What? Tell us. I thought you just played it.
The Appalachian State walk-off Hail Mary.
Three-man rush. Chase going to step up in the pocket. Sets. Throws high into the air. It's up for grabs. It is juggle.
That's how I imagine how you sound when you get electrocuted.
And this is something very rare happen.
Playrat!
It's almost self-steppage.
Playrat!
The play-by-play guy is as irresponsible as the color guy.
Absolutely.
Because if he was doing that himself, I think it would have been a similar reaction. It would have been just singular instead of plural. You would just hear a maniac screaming. What happened on the play? I get excited, but I looked at the replay. Things happened. Somebody caught the ball. You got to give me some description of what happened.
It also looked like the ball was deflected before it was caught, wasn't it?
He said juggles, and then that's the last of the descriptions. Everything else was just
a release.
That's the radio call. That's the radio call.
That's good.
Andrew,
if you get one of them on the air tomorrow, I'd like to talk to one of those two.
Let's go!
We're used to the color guy getting in the way because they're not professional. They're former athletes that are just doing it to help out the school. They're kind of paid to be I think he's part of it.
I think that the play-by-play guy is trying to make up ground that he lost to the lunatic screaming.
Well, if you want to get him on to find out what the heck happened.
By the way, that's what
our guests are whack. I'm kind of leaning towards that way.
You okay, then we don't have to do it.
Guys, how crazy. We haven't spent any time on this today. How nuts is it, in another game that Michael got right, of course, San Francisco getting a win, Trey Lance out for the year, throws three passes, and now the insurance policy, Jimmy G, kicking in.
And he hurt his ankle on a designed run, and then Shanahan was questioned about it. Shanahan goes, well, they do it in Buffalo.
No, that's no kind of answer.
Is that really what he said?
Yeah, he said, well, they do it in Buffalo, nobody complained. Well,
he hasn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, Josh Allen hasn't gotten hurt.
That is so lame out of him. Because any time a quarterback gets hurt scrambling, that's the first question to ask. Why did you have him run? He's too important. Shouldn't be doing that.
But a lot of quarterbacks run as part of their game.
But the point is that I'm sure it's going to be asked in Buffalo tonight if Josh Allen gets hurt on a run. Josh Allen hasn't gotten hurt yet, so why would it be brought up? That's a lame answer.
Jimmy G comes out smelling like a rose.
Well,
because he comes out, didn't even go to camp with them, and was money last night. Money.
Yeah, I mean.
And made me money.
Actually, he smells like he looks, probably, right?
That's the best compliment. He plays. His play, boring as can be. His story, though, is very interesting. Jimmy G. It's always has been. Since the very beginning, he was, he's going to be the guy behind Brady. He's the guy. There's been controversy, it seems like, around every deal or extension he's had. And now he ends up back in the thick of it again.
I would love to see him take them to a Super Bowl. Then what would they do?
Well, he got close last year, and they still wanted him out.
I know. But if he actually wins it, what would they do? They'd look like idiots because they gave up the farm to get Trey Lance. Jimmy G.
It's a good question.
Good-looking guy.
Oh, I mean, good-looking.
I don't know if winning a Super Bowl necessarily guarantees his return. First of all, I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl.
I mean, listen, how much time did Nick Foles get after the Super Bowl in Philly? None, right?
Right.
Giants still went back to Phil Sims. They gave Hostetler the shot, and then next thing, you know, Hostetler was, you know, in with the Raiders. I don't know. They just seem sold that he's not the guy.
But then if he wins the Super Bowl, then he is the guy, and maybe a market would open up for him.
But with these coaches and the way we kind of – like look at – what if he wins it the way Peyton Manning won his in Denver? Right? Would anybody –
win is a win.
No, I don't know. Peter, do you look at – listen, it's Manning's second, but does anybody credit Peyton Manning that second Super Bowl? It was more on the defense, right? So if he won a Super Bowl – if they won a Super Bowl in spite of him – would everybody be falling over them saying, we got to get this Super Bowl champion?
You know how I feel about Manning that season. His passes looked, for the most part, like this.
No, but he deserves the championship, but what I'm saying is –
but it was bad.
But I think we live in a world now where we're not just going to go, well, he's got a Super Bowl ring, we got to go get him. They analyze it deeper than that.
Is there a Manning cast tonight? And which game is it?
That's a great – yes.
I haven't seen any guests.
Now, for people, what Michael's referring to, there are two games tonight, one at 7:30 on ESPN, and then one at 8:30 on ABC. Which game is which again?
The Bills is the first game.
Oh, Don, you're going to be dialed in.
You can listen to it on the ride home, Don.
That's right. No Manning cast.
Yeah, what do you do? Which game do you pick?
And you're giving another team an opportunity to call a game tonight. You want people to, you know, at least watch the game.
Poof!
I don't know. So you'll have,
or maybe just Eli had dinner or something.
That, by the way,
it
could be as simple as that. either way, you have double Monday Night Football action. That will
and
do it.
This is one of four. I think it's going to happen a few times this year.
Four double headers?
Yeah, I don't know how many there are, but I know that next year there are more.
Oh God. It starts next year. I got to look at it.
By the way,
it starts next year.
Why don't they just announce it's every day? It's like baseball.
I like the double header. I like what's happening here.
You do? I'm not really into it.
Why, you got something else to do?
Well, first of all, I always have to watch Monday Night Raw.
Why do you have to pet your hairy arms while you're on the air? I don't get it. You do it all the time.
I'm cold. I'm very cold.
So petting your hairy arms makes you warm?
Why is it petting arms? If you're rubbing your arms when you're cold,
it's normal. That's normal.
Yeah, but you look very hirsute.
Again, you're a real piece of work. All right, that'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening.
Natalie dropped you off today, right?
That's right.
Who's driving you home?
My mistress.
Really?
Yeah, Miss Uber. That's right.
Interesting. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you will take your phone calls. Dan Grosse has, I guess it's inside the Jets at 7 o'clock, which is exciting. It's a regular show.
Regular Grosse.
So then we have Dan right now, right? We'll have Dan coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and the ESPN app. And 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.